Hello, everybody, and welcome to Sci-Fi Unchained. Really quick, I just wanted to invite everyone to join our social media, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. Well, there is a Twitter, but I don't really use it that much. And to be honest, all I use Facebook and Instagram for is funny memes, a compelling conversation or two, and an occasional episode update. But anyway, come on over and join us and enjoy the episode. All right. So again, I want to give a spoiler warning before we get into today's episode, reviewing WandaVision episode 2. Let's get into it. So this episode is clearly being set in the mid to late 60s, while the previous episode was set in the 50s. Wanda and Vision are preparing for a magic act at a local talent show. And they're doing this as a way to have plausible deniability should questions arrive concerning either of their abilities, should they be discovered. So the episode is smattered with more and more era stylized language and syntax that clearly mark the era as the 60s, which is really fun. It's a fun detail, and you can tell the showrunners did their homework watching all of those old-style shows, modeling the intros and the clothing, the furniture, everything to match both the 50s and 60s. And it's really, really cool. As a theater person who appreciates set design, costume, lights and sounds, stagecraft, all of that kind of stuff and design, it's really, really fun for people who like to break down that kind of stuff. So after Wanda and Vision talk about their magic act, Vision goes off to the local neighborhood watch, and Wanda hears a strange noise and goes outside to find a crashed toy helicopter. Now, the show is in black and white, set against a black and white background, even has the same kind of screen ratio. The aspect ratio is set to what it would have been in the 60s. However, this toy helicopter has color against the black and white background of the show. Notably, gold, yellow, and red, the colors of both Vision and Iron Man. You never want to discount, you know, that these colors are shared by multiple characters, right? Iron Man has clearly had an impression in this show. You know, he like I said in the previous episode, Stark had a hand in making Vision, especially as he did create Vision with the help of Thor and Dr. Banner, and he indirectly had a hand in making Wanda. Now, we do see a sword logo on the toy helicopter. So could Sword really be imprisoning her? Has she gone all pre-House of M kind of crazy, and Sword is trying to contain her and are monitoring her actions somehow by using toy helicopters that are inconspicuous? So why the toy? Are her powers manifesting some truths about her newfound reality? Maybe on a subconscious level, she's trying to wake herself up to the fact that she's being controlled or manipulated or what have you. And as Wanda continues to stare at the toy, Agnes shows up and escorts Wanda to the neighborhood planning committee, the meeting, and she mentions whoever this Dottie character is the key to everything in the town of Westview. So what does this mean for the character of Dottie if, in fact, Agnes is Agatha Harkness? To me, Agatha Harkness would be much more important than whoever this Dottie person is, because she doesn't seem that important to the grand scheme of things. Maybe she is. Maybe she's some kind of hidden character that we'll come back to in a later episode. And she actually really is somebody. I don't know. So at the meeting, Dottie seems like the stereotypical mean and scarily controlling housewife that knows how to bully other housewives into doing what she wants them to do. And as she presides over the meeting, Agnes does drop a line about the devil being somewhere. And here I am thinking, well, where is he? Where is he, Agnes? Or Agatha? Where is he, Agatha? We also get a really weird, surreal line reciting of "for the children" in unison from all the ladies all at once, aside from Wanda, who kind of catches herself and adds, "for the children." It's super creepy. I get serious Twilight vibes. It's very creepy, to say the least. So then there's Vision, who's also trying to fit in with his fellows at the neighborhood watch meet, though being a revived synthezoid with little understanding of human humor and subtext. He falls into the classic goofs and fumbles of sitcom silliness, as there are things lost in translation or misunderstanding, like Norm being a communist or Herb making the mistake that mastication for masturbation. He's like, "Oh no, I don't do that." Whenever Herb hands him the gum, Vision's like, "Well, I think these are mostly for mastication, which is, you know, just the sensation of chewing and eating something." Herb's like, "Oh no, I don't do that." Vision accidentally swallows the gum, which gives us a stylized animation showing that it's messing with Vision's insides. It's pretty cool. It's pretty funny that we see all these gears in this really cartoonish way, because Vision, that's not how he's built. He's built as a synthetic human. So he doesn't have gears. He doesn't have, he's built with processors and microchips and all of these crazy synaptic neurons that are forged out of wires and vibranium. So what is that gum really doing? So yeah, it gets in his insides and it's messing him up. Then we cut back to Dottie having Wanda clean up after the meeting, and Dottie says she's heard things about Wanda and her husband, which would suggest that she actually is someone of significance in whatever this is that Wanda seems to be trapped in. And the radio starts to be interrupted by a voice repeatedly asking Wanda, "Who's doing this to you, Wanda?" And that snaps Dottie out of whatever character she's portraying, and because she seems to not know whoever Wanda is, or she isn't quite aware of her surroundings. It's kind of like what happened with Mrs. Hart, where she just goes into that very strange, repeating the lines over and over kind of creepy thing. So yeah, that happens. And then Dottie breaks the glass in her hand when the radio explodes, and we see red colored blood on her hand. And then she snaps back into that character of Dottie instead of the worried expressions on her face. and questioning Wanda. So after that, we get another commercial, this time for Strucker Swiss-made watches with the Hydra symbol set in the middle. Could these commercials be telling us that we could possibly see Hydra rear its evil head again? Or will it be the offshoot organization called AIM? I think that'd be really cool. If this reality is something that Wanda's subconscious is manifesting, the Hydra subtext would be pretty understandable, as they're the ones who experimented on her and helped give her her powers. So it'll be really interesting to see the reason behind these commercials. And at the talent show, Vision, he shows up and he's all bumbly and goofy, and he's showing the effects that the gum is having on his internal systems, as if he's made out of gears and wires. So he would be that way if he was assembled back in the 60s instead of the 2010s, which, again, super, super awesome design work by these show designers and the showrunners and the writers and everything. So Vision is all out of whack and hilarious antics ensue. And we get another rendition of For the Children, which leads me to question if Wanda is either being imprisoned or this strange sitcom reality is a creation of her powers and her subconscious somehow. What do children actually mean for Wanda, or Wanda and Vision, rather? Well, in the comics, Wanda does have a pair of twins that she imagines into reality, who are actually soul fragments of the demon lord Mephisto. Whew. So, could this sitcom reality Wanda is trapped in be Mephisto's way of obtaining more power by making Wanda have children that he can then steal away and use to bolster his strength? Ooh, we're getting so many possible comic book storyline tie-ins, and I'm so excited to see which way they go with this. And the very next scene, well, Wanda's pregnant now. So, and it's not that she just became pregnant. It looks like she'd been preggo for a while. So the Mephisto prediction is pretty darn possible. Wanda and Vision hear a noise, and they go outside, and they see a mysterious man in a beekeeper suit surrounded by bees coming out of a manhole cover. It's pretty ominous. It's in the middle of night. Vision's all freaked out. Wanda is freaked out, and then she has a different kind of look come about her face, and she says no, and has the show rewound to where suddenly there is no noise and no beekeeper man. She kisses Vision and brings back the black and white world into color. So she kisses Vision. Vision's face turns back into a colorized version of himself, and we see the transition from black and white into color. The show fades out with the same voice from the radio asking Wanda who's doing this to her, suggesting that she is in fact trapped in this alternate dimension reality simulation matrix Ready Player One world she's found herself in. So Wanda does seem to possess some modicum of control and influence on this reality, though it does not appear to be total or absolute, as things do happen that startle or scare her and are completely out of her control. So This show is shaping up to be chock full of mystery and intrigue, and I cannot wait to see if any theories or predictions come true. There are a lot of things that I'm kind of following right now that are saying, oh, it's going to go this way. Oh, we're going to get House of M, or we're going to get some kind of answer to, well, the Infinity Stones are destroyed, but the powers that the stones represented can't be destroyed because they're part of the fabric of the reality of the universe. So they'll manifest somewhere else. So we could be seeing a manifestation of the stones. There's an ungodly amount of theories and predictions out there that could be true. So it'll be fun to see which ones are. But that is all I have for right now, guys. Thank you so much for tuning in, and stick around for more Sci-Fi Unchained. But for now, live long and prosper, my friends, and may the Force be with us all.